Derek, the biggest thing going in Caniac Nation, we all know it, is?
The Canes are winning. We're 1 point out of a wild card spot.
That is correct.
Yeah!
What the Canadian media would like to bury is the lead. And the lead isn't what those guys at CBC want us to all talk about. The lead is the Carolina Hurricanes under the leadership and ownership of non-hockey man Tom Dundon, who was roasted single-handedly by every single one of them.
Well, they can't all do it single-handedly, Mike.
Each one of them did it singly.
Oh, okay.
With one hand, I think.
Wearing a singlet?
Yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Don Cherry in a singlet. Anyway, get that image out of your head now, folks. That is the lead. Rod Brind'Amour was the quote-unquote cheap and easy hire. Don Waddell was the only man willing to actually take the job to work under such ridiculous concepts as what new owner Tom Dundon was putting forth.
Mm-hmm.
Yet still, we sit here on February 18th, and as I look at the show rundown, and we've got a lot of games to talk about. It's been 8 games since you and I have done a podcast together. I believe it was a loss, unfortunately, to the Calgary Flames.
Damn you, Bill Peters.
Damn you, Elias Lindholm. That was great, by the way. If you're going to go heel, go full heel. I loved what he did.
So here's the thing. Do you want to talk about that now or you want to wait?
Let's talk about it now. Let's ask the people. What do you want us to talk about? They want us to talk about it now.
Cool. Let's do it. Being a fan in that moment, you hate what Lindholm's doing.
Yes.
Once you step outside of that, you love it. And I personally cannot wait for another team to mock the Storm Surge when they win in Raleigh. I think that's going to be fantastic because that will immediately make that team a rival if they already weren't among the fan base. And it amplifies things. It gives you more stakes the next time you play. So the next time that team comes to town, let's just call them Buffalo. You're going to find a way to hate them 2% more, and you're going to want to be in that building the next time so you can watch your beloved hockey club kick their teeth down their throats.
Yes. And again, for those of you who may have forgotten, because it has been a little while, you know, Elias Lindholm did kind of mock the Storm Surge a little bit, mock the Viking clap. It was great. If you're going to go full heel turn, embrace the heel turn. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I love about what this Carolina Hurricanes team, Derek, has become since the new year. They have embraced who they are, which is a hard-working bunch of guys who are willing to go to battle for each other, who are going to have a little bit of fun in the meantime, but are focused on, we're still going to connect with the fans. And if you go back to when Tom Dundon was hired, that was one of the large, or when he bought the team, sorry. Mm-hmm. That was one of the things that he said, I need this team to connect with the fans. I have a lot of great guys here. I have guys who I want to be part of this club, who want to be part of this franchise and be part of this community. You and I have railed on this for years, me probably more than you, that these mm-hmm. guys aren't connecting with the fans and connecting with the community. And maybe they're not doing, you know, 20 different charity things more than they've done in years past. But it feels like there's little things between the fan tunnel and the salutes and some of the access that they're giving and just how they're giving, you know, and maybe it's a you know, part of it's a fact of we're not, you know, stuck in a shithole of despair.
I think that's a big part of it. I think there is a lot of credit, too, that goes to the Canes' marketing and their social media teams because they are getting, whether it's a clip here or there, a snippet from a player. I don't know if the players are encouraged to use their social media more, but a guy like Calvin DeHaan, who is a great follow on Twitter, a guy like Jordan Martinook, who is really good to provide a sentence here and there, those sorts of things go a long way. So it's not everybody on the team, right? I mean, you're still not seeing Sebastian Aho the way you're seeing Jordan Martinook, but you don't need to because you're seeing Sebastian Aho tied with Sidney Crosby for points this season.
Yeah, and you're seeing this team, and Sarah Sivian said this in her article, I think, recently. I've seen numerous people, you know, kind of talk about this. The team is developing for the first time in recent memory an identity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is everything that's going on with the bunch of jerks, and we're definitely going to go deep into that minute and 7 second soliloquy that Mr. Cherry had. This team is kind of galvanizing themselves as us against the world, as us against everything. And they're seeing it kind of come together, because you've got a guy, you know, guys like Martinook and Greg McKegg, for gosh sakes, has, you know, contributed some valuable time while Jordan Staal has been down. You know, Williams, Turbo, Aho leading the team in scoring. Those are the guys you probably want leading the team in scoring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys like Don Waddell, who have not had to do a ton this season, but making the move for Nino Niederreiter,
oh God,
could be the difference in where this team is at right now. 13 points in his first 13 games.
I believe that will do.
Yeah.
And our expectations were Nino is going to be a better player for this team than Victor Rask was. I don't think anybody expected him to be a point per game player right now. He's bigger. He shoots the puck. He goes to the net. He throws the body around, sometimes crosses the line a little bit like he did. I forget if it was Friday or Saturday night. I think it was Friday night.
Yep.
In the second period there. But the Canes needed a player who does exactly that, and he's still in his mid-20s.
Well, and not only we have all of that we're looking at, but that also gave us the capability of splitting up Turbo and Aho.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've got a legitimate scoring threats kind of sprinkled throughout the lineup. And that's what is going to make that's what makes playoff teams palpable, right? I mean, you can't just have one line scoring. Dallas was the perfect example of that. I read a stat today that was just shocked me. In the last 5 games, how many forwards have scored for Dallas? Think about this. They have Tyler Seguin. They have Jamie Benn.
Mm-hmm.
They have Alex Radulov. They have good. A couple of the guys.
You were going to mention Nichushkin, but Nichushkin is terrible bad this year.
I was going to mention Nichushkin, but
they still have Jason Spezza. I don't know if he's alive or
how many forwards have scored in the last 5 games, Derek? Take a guess.
Because of the way you're framing this question, I'm going to guess 1-3.
Three.
Okay. I went crazy low. I wanted to say 2, then I was like, yeah, you're hammering this home. 1?
3 forwards have scored in the last 5 games with 2 shutouts. You know why? Because they have one really, really good line.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw what the Canes did. You shut down that top line, you beat them everywhere else. You can't do that with this Canes team right now.
Now,
you can't just say, I'm going to go shut down Aho, Teravainen, and Ferland. Because guess what? We don't have that line anymore. We now have Aho, Niederreiter, Williams. And then you've got Wallmark and Ferland and Turbo. That's 2 really good scoring lines. Lucas Wallmark, by the way. I mean, at the beginning of the season, that was Martin Natchez's Calder to win as that second line center.
I don't know about all that, but sure.
I mean, he was in the conversation, right?
How many names did you include in the conversation?
5 or 6.
Per team?
No.
You had Martin Natchez at the top 5 or 6 to win the Calder this year, Mike.
I did. Go back in and look at our really bad preseason predictions.
I mean, look, I put actual money on Svechnikov to win the Calder, so that's not working out too well. Damn you, Elias Pettersson.
Yeah, Pettersson kid's going to be good. I also put
$10 on Patrick Laine to win the Rocket Richard, and I don't think he's scored since Carter was in office.
more pills than peanuts. More pills than peanuts, Derek. Patrick Laine needs to take more pills. Anyway, we're giddy, guys. We are giddy. The Carolina Hurricanes, as we sit here right now, are still 1 point out of the Eastern Conference playoffs. But our friends over at Money Puck have told us that the Carolina Hurricanes are the number 3 team out of the East to potentially reach the Stanley Cup Finals.
And even to win it, only behind Tampa Bay and Toronto.
I know. It's crazy.
That is nuts. Then again, things like that are based heavily on the fanciest of stats, which I've heard don't matter. I've heard that Corsi and all analytics don't matter.
We're going to talk about John Forslund's Saturday night Twitter tirade tonight as well. Guys, so much stuff to talk about. We've got games to talk about. We've got your cheat mail tonight on the Dawn from Fathom Realty guest line. Our favorite guest ever.
Us.
Stick around for that. We got lots of stuff to talk about. I was at Canes Bash last night. We could talk about all of the great things that are happening in the community at Canes Bash. We're going to touch on the amazing stuff that happened with a bunch of jerks. Not only everybody buying up all of the t-shirts, but what happened last night with You Can Play, which I thought was phenomenal. We're going to drink a beer from Bottle Mix, and I think we're going to have fun tonight, Derek.
Let's keep it going, man.
Let's have some fun. Derek.
Yes.
Hit that fun button.
Yeah, buddy.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to this week's episode of Cheaters Never Win, where we, who have been a bunch of jerks for, I don't know, probably our entire lives.
I was going to say, don't just say the length of time we've been doing this podcast. Yeah, we've been jerks for much longer. Yeah. That's why we're friends.
My name's Mike.
I'm Derek.
And we're still a part of the Sports Channel 8 Jerky Podcast Network.
Bunch of jerks!
Yes. Tonight, the Bunch of Jerks edition here. We're going to focus not only on the topic of the moment, but we really want to talk a little bit about, again, just an amazing, I think, 8-2 run in our last 10 for the Carolina Hurricanes. Is 6-2 since you and I have last been behind these mics, Derek. Maybe a season, I don't want to call it a season changing, but I maybe want to call it a season confirming road trip.
Mm-hmm.
Our best road trip since 1998, 4-1 on the road trip, broke the curse of Madison Square Garden, where we had not won since Jeffrey Skinner. You may remember him. He's a former Hurricane.
Really? I could have sworn he was still with us.
No. He's just poo now. We lost against Jersey, but if there was a game that was a trap game, could have, would have, should have lost 3 o'clock on a Sunday against Jersey after winning at Pittsburgh, at Buffalo, and at MSG, Derek, I don't think that road trip could have conceivably gone better. I mean, we could have won all five, but
right.
But I mean,
that's one of those things.
We knew we were losing one.
Yeah, and that's one of those things. If you go into that road trip, Mike, it's again five games, big road trip that we had talked about. That is really going to set the tone for what this team does at the deadline, what this team does the duration of the season. If someone came to us before that road trip and said, "Hey, Mike, hey, Derek, the Hurricanes are going to go 4-1 on this road trip. You good with that?" Like, hell yeah, I'm good with that. Where do I sign?
But you know, if someone said, "Yeah, you're going to go 4-1, except you're going to lose at MSG," and there would have still been this part of me that would have been slightly dead inside. But the fact of we went 4-1 and broke the MSG curse, I don't know. It made it feel a little extra special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. I thought it was great. I also looked up because I know we have fact checkers who now listen to this podcast, and thank you for listening, Pat. We have gone 8-2 in our last 10.
Thank you. Yeah. I actually read that stat earlier. I believe it was, Corey LaViolette.
Yeah.
Who may have posted that.
And so, I believe since December 31st, the Canes have the best record in the NHL.
Also the highest scoring team in the National Hockey League. So, Derek,
like, the goal differential for the season is now +8, which is good.
Considering how Justin Faulk mentioned earlier this week that on New Year's Eve, the Carolina Hurricanes were 10 points out of a playoff spot. And many people say, you know, if you're not in the playoffs by American Thanksgiving, you're out and you're dead. We were 10 points out when we flipped the calendar.
Whew.
The Carolina Hurricanes, ever since, are the best team from a win-loss and goal-scoring statistic in the entire National Hockey League. Not the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are like currently 44-11-3, I believe.
Not Toronto, who, it was my understanding, they average 6.5 goals a game.
And have already won the cup. The Calgary Flames, who are a very good team, who swept the Carolina Hurricanes this year. No. The best team in the National Hockey League in the Lord's year of 2019 is the Carolina Hurricanes.
So if I may shift to what a lot of people want to hear about, Mike, I think that kind of record, that kind of goal scoring, that kind of setting the pace across the league is worthy of celebration. Would you not say so?
I would say, Derek, that it is. Derek, do you mind if we're going to rip off a little Band-Aid here?
Okay. For those who aren't watching, and for those who may have commented what happened to the Twitch stream, things happened. We may bring it back when we get a producer. Mike has a literal Band-Aid on his hand, and he instead unvelcroed a glove because he didn't want to rip off the actual Band-Aid.
Derek, it's a Paw Patrol Band-Aid. It's Chase. If I come out of this studio and don't have Chase on my thumb, my child may cry.
You've got some splaining to do.
I do. So as we rip off the Band-Aid, let's talk about old hockey men talking old hockey things. For those of you who listen to this podcast, I'm hopefully...
If you don't listen to this podcast, you're not hearing this.
Hopefully you're aware of the rant that Don Cherry went on, I believe it was Saturday.
Yes.
And basically said the Carolina Hurricanes are a bunch of jerks for all of this celebration. And then he went on to contradict himself numerous times and to say things that were just absolutely ludicrous. So, Derek, we're going to go to the Don from Fathom Realty guest line, and then we're going to have our guest break down the bunch of jerks.
This is Don Meyer with Fathom Realty, official realtor of Section 328. You can find me at becauseitshome.com. I am as passionate about helping you make your next move as I am about the Carolina Hurricanes. On average, homes sold by my firm sell 78 days quicker than other homes on the MLS, getting money in your pocket sooner. Buyers also get exclusive strategic representation in the seller's market. Contact me at becauseitshome.com to learn more.
Thanks, Dawn. And folks, on the Dawn from Fathom Realty guest line tonight, me. My name's Mike.
And me, I'm Derek. Hi, how are you?
So let's get right into this. Don Cherry, Derek, let me ask you this.
Yes.
Why did Don Cherry feel it now was the appropriate time to go on this rant?
Because more people are talking about the Hurricanes, and more people would care, and more people in turn would talk about Don Cherry.
I think Don Cherry's upset. I think he's upset that Brian Burke beat him to the punch. I think he's upset.
He got out old manned.
He got out old hockey manned. And basically, all of his takes about Tom Dundon, as we talked about earlier in this podcast, are about to be just, you know, I believe, if I may quote one of the great Americans of our time, Derek, I believe someone's about to take those takes, shine them up real good, turn that sumbitch sideways, and shove him up Don Cherry's Rudy Pooh candy ass.
Okay.
Thank you, Dwayne. He's about to look silly.
Whoa. Okay. I'm going to steal a bit from another podcast, or two other podcasts, that are politically charged, so we're not going to go into them. But I'm going to play a little game of okay, stop here, Mike. Okay, stop. Don Cherry is about to look silly. About to look silly.
Yes.
This man wears collars taller than I am.
But he relishes that, Derek. That is,
he's dressed in relish. Different types of relish. He may have a chow chow suit tomorrow night.
Oh, just had some nice Vidalia onion relish on some hot dogs.
Gotta make me think of that.
Yeah, it was good.
Continue.
I'm just as he broke out and he was like, he starts off by saying Brendan Moore's a straight shooter.
Okay.
Right, and then he's like, well, Brendan Moore would never do such a thing. So Chip Alexander today actually asked Rod Brendan Moore if he would do that. You know what Rod said? Rod was honest, like, I don't know. It's kind of a different game now.
Yeah.
He goes, you know what? He goes, when I was first playing, no one ever did interviews during the game. And he goes, then they started doing interviews in the middle of the game, and I hated it because people were, you know, taking my focus, and I wanted to be focused on the game, but then I realized that, you know, like, the fans liked it, and it was growing hockey, and it was giving more understanding, so, you know, I changed along with the times. Sometimes, you just gotta change with the times.
Yeah.
And I thought that was such a subtle, underhanded, shiv-like jab by Brendan Moore. I mean, it was so well done. I mean, in classic, just deadpan, just very lightly, you know, lightly fried.
Yeah. So, Mike, right now, if you had to guess what percentage of hockey fans, we can separate the media if you want to. You could say hockey media and hockey fans, or lump them all together of people who enjoy hockey. What percentage would you say are absolutely like in the Don Cherry, Brian Burke camp of this is a stain on the game?
I think you can almost break it down by province. Literally.
We also have states, so
no one in America hates it.
That's absolutely not true.
If you look at, you know, I kind of went through, and we will, you know, we're going to do a little bit on this later with our buddies over at Sports Channel 8. We went through a lot of the hate tweets about the storm surge, and I felt like of what I was reading, one of the highest percentages was from Nova Scotia.
Well, there's a heat map around Quebec and Nova Scotia.
Exactly.
And that area. And I get it. You like to take shots down here, but I feel like there's a lot of just stick in the mud people. But overall, I would say of people who really feel like that, it's probably not even 5%.
No, it is. And I think it's continuing to change, because I think what was once seen as if you go back to the start of the storm surge, what was seen by some people who were saying the guys don't like doing it, they're not interested in it, this is Tom Dundon forcing their hand and making them do something they're not comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
To now it is, this is a team-led initiative that Justin Williams kind of spearheaded early in the season with Rod Brind'Amour's approval and the backing of the entire club.
Tell me Martinook doesn't love this.
No. I mean, no, I will not speak for Jordan Martinook. He is a grown-ass man. I watched him chug a beer at Canes Bash last night. I have more respect for him now than I ever had.
They're sticking to it. It's something that brings the home crowd joy. One of the other aspects that I've thought about is, and Don Cherry talked about this, our attendance still sucks. Word. Look at other teams. Our attendance is getting better. And wins matter, particularly in a market that hasn't grown up with hockey for four generations and doesn't have 7 million people. So the attendance is better, and this is just one of those things that can help attendance. I don't think a lot of people are going solely for that, because, again, the team only does the storm surge after a win. But it's another thing that it's like, it's nice on TV, but it's not as much fun as seeing what is this team going to do surrounded by a bunch of people giddy over a win they just saw. It keeps you in the building. It makes the in-game experience even more enjoyable. And when you have to compete with TV and the convenience of a beautiful picture on a big screen TV, bathrooms that are hopefully cleaner than the ones in the arena, no slight to the arena staff who cleans bathrooms, beer that is significantly cheaper, unless you got ripped off, and food that you cook for yourself, whatever you want to do. The home experience is so, so good compared to what it used to be, that you have to make the in-game experience different. And this is different, and it's fun. And I would say for every one person that hates it, there are at least 15 who love it. And then there are a handful who are like, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah,
But because the voices are those like Don Cherry and Brian Burke, who are hockey men, who have hockey man opinions, we're all talking about them. And in this case, it's great because we're making fun of them and a lot of people are making a buck off of them and some money is going to some really good causes because of their foolishness.
Yes. So for those of you who may not have seen last night, it came out via Sarah Sivian that Patrick Burke, Brian Burke's son, who is the president of You Can Play, which is a inclusion, not charitable group to promote hockey, any race, any gender, any sexual orientation. If you can play, you can play. It is a great cause. And Patrick said, hey, if we could raise $1,000 towards my GoFundMe to raise money for You Can Play that we're doing as part of the Boston Marathon, I will personally present a bunch of jerk shirt to my father. It took 8 minutes for one person to donate $1,000 to make that happen. Last I checked, it was over $3,000.
Mm-hmm.
The bunch of jerks here in Carolina continuing to raise great money for great causes. And thank you to those people who have donated. Very kind thank you to whomever it was who donated the $1,000, because you are a great human being and you deserve all of the world's adulation. But it was just, you know, good things coming out of this. And the fact of the Canes have now embraced this. Before the end of the end of the game, the Carolina Hurricanes had changed their Twitter profile to a bunch of jerks who have fun hockey celebrations. I mean, how different is it that Canes marketing and Canes social media teams are embracing this, whereas in previous years there has been a level of, dare I say, defensiveness about trying to protect the franchise.
Yeah, I think what's cool about this is, you said earlier it's kind of a Canes against the world. I don't know that it's the Canes against the world, but I think it's more, oh, you want to slap us with an identity? We will take it. We will change how you think what you're saying, have our own interpretation of it, and this is us now, damn it. So let's have some fun and let's do it on our terms.
Yeah. So, you know, not only that, the Canes came out with a bunch of jerk shirt. Some other folks around the league, you know, namely a really good local blog and podcast, came out with a really, really just, I mean, it's a very quiet design for those of you maybe who haven't seen it. It's not the same. It's definitely not the same.
Theirs goes ding, 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 da da ding, 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 da da ding, ding. Ours goes ding, 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 da da ding, ding,
ding, ding, ding, da da ding, ding.
Yeah, there's a right before the ding, ding. So they're different.
Absolutely different. But a hockey night in Canada inspired bunch of jerk shirt. I mean, just so much fun. I mean, the entire community, a bunch of jerks was trending not only in North Carolina, but it was trending all over Canada and all over America Saturday night. It was
amazing.
It's just amazing kind of what's done. And I think it has galvanized this team and galvanized this franchise to be like, you know what? We're going to be us and we're going to be the best damn us we can be. And I don't care if Don Cherry likes it. I don't care if Brian Burke likes it. Rod Brandmore says, I don't want to have to talk about this anymore because we got a game to play. And that's fine. Let him take away from the fact that we have been the best team in the National Hockey League. Derek, can I say, I mean, we've talked a lot about how Don Cherry feels about us. Can we talk about the thing in the minute and 7 second rant that no one seems to be paying attention to?
Go for it.
Canadian legend, Canadian broadcasting legend, Ron McLean, who has the quote-unquote privilege of doing Coach's Corner every Saturday night with John Cherry, obviously feels differently than Don Cherry does about the storm surge. Don Cherry basically referred to him as a weatherman and basically said his opinion didn't matter. If no, everyone's going against this whole thing. Don Cherry called Ron McLean a weatherman, which is not only an affront to Canadian broadcasting legend Ron McLean, but it is an affront to weathermen everywhere. Because when you're going, you know, who is the person who's furthest away from knowing and understanding hockey? He went weathermen. Meteorologist. They protect us, Derek. Jim Cantore is the type of guy who makes sure life and limb is saved. Mike Mays is here to make sure we are properly covered when we leave the PNC Arena. Why has the National Weathermen's Union not raised up in anger and fury over the slight from that no good two-bit some bitch who thinks he could talk down to the Meteorological Society?
I was trying to think of some joke of they're all too busy looking at models or they're looking at the GFS or something, but it wasn't going to be funny.
I mean, we should have Weather Moose. I mean, if we could get Weather Moose, and I know he's a big name, but if we could get Weather Moose from Sports Channel 8 on this podcast to help us understand what is going on in the Meteorological Society union meetings right now to figure out how they're going to respond to this. And more importantly, where are the Ron McLean fan clubs? Where are the people to support Ron McLean? Jesus, someone help this man. He had this look of just like, going, I wish I could stop him. But there's no way to stop him.
He's in too deep.
So, Derek, I promise you this. This whole bunch of jerks thing is going to go away. The Carolina Hurricanes are going to make the playoffs. And what will happen. But I'll tell you what I can guarantee.
They better not do that in the playoffs. They better not. They better not do it in the playoffs.
You know what's going to happen after the playoffs?
A team will win the Stanley Cup.
And then after, what happens after that, Derek?
The draft.
Who will be at the draft?
Us.
And?
A bunch of jerks.
And?
Don Cherry.
Bingo.
Will Don Cherry be at the draft?
Don Cherry will be at the draft. I'm telling you right,
really?
I'm telling you right now, in Vancouver, we will make it our mission to find Don Cherry. We will get Don Cherry to don the bunch of jerks shirt.
I don't think you will.
And we will get Don Cherry to eat his words and apologize. For if he doesn't.
You think Don Cherry's going to apologize for anything?
I will follow
Don. Are you from Ontario? You have no chance.
I will follow Don Cherry around everywhere he goes.
Are you going to play a tuba behind him? Like?
And I will just chant, jerk, jerk, jerk. For 3 days, I will make it my God-given purpose of life itself to make Don Cherry's time in Vancouver, Canada, miserable at the hand of a single jerk.
So phrasing?
Okay, we're not going there. Again, too many jokes, so not enough time.
Do you really think there's any chance of getting him to wear that shirt?
Yes.
Really? Without a charitable donation?
I didn't say it didn't have to be without a charitable donation.
Just curious.
But I will find Don Cherry, and this will happen.
Does he go to the draft?
Yes.
He does? Okay. Yes. I genuinely don't know because I don't care about him.
We will find him, and he will pay. So Don Cherry, please, no.
We know he's a big fan. Always listening.
That these two jerks are coming to Vancouver. I will find you. And you will pay.
All right.
Hey, Derek. Thanks to those guys for calling in on the Don from Fathom Realty guest line. That was fun.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. They were great.
Yeah. Great. Might be our best guest since our last guest.
One of them talked more than the other, but.
That happens. One of them has better. Yeah, he's got nothing. He's an asshole. He really is a jerk. Derek, I know we've got cheat mail that we've got to get to. We've got trade deadline stuff. So before we get to trade deadline stuff, yes. I wanted to, and I know we've got trade deadline stuff in the cheat mail, but as we sit here recording tonight on Monday the 18th, we are 1 day or 1 week away from the National Hockey League trade deadline.
Yes.
And I don't think we would be doing ourselves or the folks who listen any favors if we didn't at least touch on the trade deadline. So Derek, what do you think is the Carolina Hurricanes are going to do as we run up to this year's trade deadline?
So 2 weeks ago when we did our live show at Bottle Mix, which was a blast, and thank you to everyone who came out, had a great time. A lot of people won a lot of really cool stuff, including a team signed stick and a Scott Darling worn penguin costume.
And autographed and worn.
Even better. So at that show, I said it was all but certain the Hurricanes are going to trade Michael Ferland. Now I feel like it's all but certain that the Hurricanes are not going to trade Michael Ferland based on how the team has played, how Ferland himself has played, and the fact that until Duchesne, Panarin, Stone, or any combination of those three get moved, Ferland isn't going anywhere because teams want the premier players. Ferland is a tier below those guys. I think the Hurricanes, I don't know that we're really going to trade much, if anything. The only thing I could see, and we've talked about this a little bit amongst the 328 crew, is the name on defense that doesn't get talked about enough as a potential trade piece is Van Riemsdyk.
TVR, I think, is absolutely one. And then you look at the guy who would potentially fill in TVR's spot if he were to be traded, former first-round draft pick Hayden Fleury.
Mm-hmm.
So I do believe a trade will be made. I believe we have to unload one of our defensemen not only for potentially this upcoming playoff run, because I think we do have some depth in that position, but there are a couple of names of interest that are coming up. Jake Bean has really progressed this season in Charlotte, playing really well. Adam Fox is out there having another great season for Harvard. We need to sign Adam Fox as soon as his season at Harvard is over. And for that to happen, we need to have at least alleviated some of the logjam in front of him to have him have the interest to make sure that he's coming here. So I believe the Carolina Hurricanes are probably going to trade a defenseman. I think here I'm going to make my trade call.
Do it up.
If this happens, Derek, you will owe me $3 Canadian.
Okay.
The Carolina Hurricanes have traded former first round pick Hayden Fleury to the Edmonton Oilers for former first round pick Jesse Puljujarvi.
Hmm.
Defensive depth. Two guys who are probably underperforming their draft position.
By probably, you mean absolutely, especially in the case of Pool Party.
Correct. And fresh starts for both players. You've seen what's happened. Victor Rask has played better than he played in Raleigh for Minnesota.
Admittedly, really low bar.
And Nino Niederreiter
El Nino
has played considerably better than he had a chance to play in Minnesota. But hopefully the same would happen for Hayden, who would get a chance to play some good minutes and give Edmonton a little bit more defensive depth. And Jesse Puljujarvi just feels like the kid needs a fresh start.
Yeah, I know Edmonton just put, I forget the name of the player, on waivers today to make room because Andre Sequeira is coming back off the IR. So,
yes.
I don't know.
I mean, Edmonton has said they've got a lot of suites, season ticket plans that are coming up for renewal. And they fear if they don't make the playoffs, some of those very expensive seats in that brand or arena may not necessarily get renewed.
Well, when they don't make the playoffs, but they're going to watch them win the draft lottery again.
I think they're going to make a little bit of a push to try to get to the playoffs, though.
It's just it's not going to happen. They're going to have to make a bigger splash than that.
No, I absolutely agree, but I don't think they can go out and make a bunch of huge splashes primarily because of the salary cap hell they're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
I think they try to trade someone like Lucic.
good luck.
And well, I think if you take a Jesse Puljujarvi with a Lucic, you could probably get him, you could probably trade a Roland McEwen just to get rid of that Milan Lucic contract. The Carolina Hurricanes are the type of team who could accept that contract, should they so choose.
I hope they choose not to. The other thing,
I don't disagree.
The other thing about these trades is Waddell mentioned, a week or so ago with an NHL.com interview, I think it was, that the Canes want to take on a player who has additional term beyond this season. That could be posturing. It could be the truth. You don't really know this time of year, but assuming that is true, that kind of takes guys out of the running that I could see the Canes going for that wouldn't be the Panarin, Stone, Duchesne level price of a Wayne Simmonds, who Wayne has not had a great year either, but I wouldn't hate Wayne Simmonds as a middle six forward on a late season push.
No, the guy I think I would love to have would be Kevin Hayes.
Say still on Hayes?
I'm still on the Kevin Hayes. Yeah. I'm still on the Kevin Hayes bandwagon. I think Kevin Hayes is probably better than Lucas Walmark. Mm-hmm. If you could put Kevin Hayes as your 2C, Lucas Walmark as your 3C, and then Jordan Staal versus whomever at your 4C, and you've got a little bit of depth to move some guys around to give a guy a break when you do get into that playoff crunch, I think that would be really good, because if we were to have one of our top three centers to go down late in the season or early in the playoffs, it's kind of a death knell for this team because there's not there's not enough talent to backfill that.
No, that is certainly the weakness of this team.
So, Derek, what is your playoff prediction for three Canadian loonies?
Oh, a trade deadline prediction?
Yes.
The Canes do nothing of note.
Okay.
Like, if it's a move, it's just shuffling a piece for a piece, and it's nothing. It's going to be nothing exciting.
So you're saying it's the Greg McKegg trade of last year.
Yes.
Which has turned out to be a piece for a piece, but at least a slightly better piece with a great name.
Yes.
What's going to be the biggest trade of the trade deadline? Who's going to land Matt Duchene?
That's not going to be the biggest one. The biggest one is Mark Stone to Winnipeg.
Ooh. What are they giving up? I mean, is it?
I don't know.
It's a first and a prospect, I'm assuming.
Sure.
And purely as a rental too. Because Stone has said he'd really like to go back and, you know, be part of the Ottawa rebuild. So that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah. So that's my shot for what I think will be the biggest name moved between now and the deadline.
I'm going to throw, you and I were talking about this one. This one's completely out of left field. I'm going to call my shot as Jeff Skinner traded to the Nashville Predators. Jeff Skinner, who made a living out of scoring in Nashville. Nashville has hit a bit of an offensive slump as of late. The Buffalo Sabres have kind of slid their way out of playoff contention, at least over the last week or so. And without them having actually trade or been able to sign Jeff Skinner, I think you've got to recoup those assets and get something for him. Like you said, it's probably a Midland prospect, a second, a third, and a sixth.
Perfect.
I mean, it's kind of the going rate, right?
I've heard that'll get you Jeff Skinner.
Yes. Derek.
Yes.
We have Gmail.
We do.
Let's talk about Gmail.
All right.
Gmail. Get Gmail.
All right.
I'm a jerk.
So here's the first one. As we're kind of talking about Jordan Staal a little bit, this comes from Kevin Kohler at Kohler KO8. Is it possible the Canes actually get worse with Jordan Staal back in the lineup, or has this team just messed with my head too much over the last decade?
This is not a Jordan Staal question. This is a coaching question.
Okay.
How does Jordan Staal improve this team? Yes. The answer is unabashedly yes. Jordan Staal is better than Greg McKegg. So if you take the sum of the whole, Jordan Staal is better. What I prefer to not see is Jordan Staal playing 21 minutes a game, getting first, second line type of minutes, and disrupting the offensive flow, because while Jordan has had a rough go of it this season, I believe the term I've heard Patrick Clark use is Jordan Staal, where opportunity chances go to die. Jordan Staal would be so good running a third and fourth line on this team.
I am very for a bottom six Jordan Staal, and I share your fears.
Give me 13:45 a night of Jordan Staal playing less minutes on the penalty kill than Sebastian Aho,
mm-hmm.
But also being able to be bumped up into a two-center rotation for critical draws. When you've got to roll out your fourth line or your third line, maybe you roll out Lucas Walmark and Jordan Staal on the same line for the drop of the puck. So that way Staal can be there, and if Staal gets kicked out, you've still got Walmark to backfill and then do a quick change after that. But face-offs and the inability to win face-offs and thus control the puck, particularly on defensive zone draws, have been a little bit of a weakness for this team for the better part of the last 6 weeks with Jordan out. So I can see him dramatically helping us there. The issue is if Jordan comes in and starts playing 22 mm-hmm. minutes a night, mm-hmm. I think this team's worse.
Totally agree. What you got for me?
I have all sorts of questions here. Why don't we go from... I saw this one from Canes Net Front. We also know them as Canes Tiger Beat. Which prospect is the biggest trade chip for the Carolina Hurricanes?
Ooh. I think it's a tie between two guys who were drafted the same night.
Okay.
Jake Bean and Julian Gauthier.
Interesting. Tell me more.
Just think through the two biggest chips. You talked about earlier we need to clear some room for Adam Fox. I don't know if that room is Jake Bean or if that room is one of the other defenders that are between the top of Charlotte and the bottom of Raleigh. Julian Gauthier, you know, I don't really know what he's doing, and I should be more prepared, but I'm not. I just feel like he's one of those guys where somebody can say, hey, he's got a lot of talent, and you throw in you throw him in because he is still young. He was only drafted in 2016. Throw him in with another player, and it makes the overall trade package more appealing. You can sell it in your PR of if you're the team who acquires him. Hey, first round pick, big body, all the things that we were enamored with. Perhaps another GM would be.
Not bad. Not bad.
Okay, tell me how I'm wrong.
No. I don't think you're wrong. Julian Gauthier has been playing phenomenally recently in Charlotte. His power game is really starting to come forward. And I think if Julian Gauthier has a good playoff run with the Charlotte Checkers, he's the type of guy who absolutely makes this club next season. I think in terms of prospects who have the ability to potentially move the needle, I don't know. I'm sitting here thinking about, I'm thinking like an E2, the goalie, E2 Vasilainen, I believe he was.
Bless you.
I believe someone like him is potentially a guy who could be a prospect chip who could be moved. I think if the Carolina Hurricanes don't get good feedback on Adam Fox, I think Adam Fox potentially is your biggest chip, because I think Adam Fox is being looked at as a guy who is potentially going to be able to be dropped into your top four from day one, and the ability to get a guy on an entry-level contract who you can drop into your top four would be phenomenal. Now, we want that guy. We want that power play specialist, so we're going to have to move, I think, some of the bottom tier to be able to do that.
Mike, this comes to us from Jason Mariani. Thoughts on goaltending situation next year? Obviously, Eminem, Mrazek, and McElhinney have worked out great this season, but when do we give Ned a chance? Also, how about those Peter chance at PNC?
The Peter chance were great. The borderline innuendo conversations that were happening in 328 were just comedy gold. I will not share them on this podcast, but let's just say the fact that our Peter rose to the challenge, stood tall, really delivered. I mean, the explosiveness of our Peter to get from one post to the other was just outstanding that night. I mean, the guy really stood on his head, and when it came to it, we all celebrated and we cheered for a guy who was able to perform at such a high level.
I don't think you need to answer anything else.
In terms of Ned, yeah. Curtis McElhinney cannot play more than, I think, 35 games. I think he is too old. I think he has proven that he is a very good goaltender in backup situations. Peter Mrazek is earning his way to a very nice contract next season. He signed a cheap deal here in Carolina this year. So the question is, do we let Alex Nedeljkovic simmer for a couple of more seasons and maybe try to sign Mrazek for 2 years? Or if Mrazek's looking for something more along the lines of, you know, 3, 4, 5 years from somebody after potentially taking the Carolina Hurricanes to their first playoff run in quite some time, do we go ahead and jump on the Ned train? So I think it has more to do with how this team finishes the season and what Peter Mrazek may want out of his next contract than necessarily is Ned ready or not.
The thing about Mrazek is he doesn't bring consistency. Here are his last, I'll just keep going back for a while until this pattern breaks, his last starts. Win, loss, win, loss, win, overtime loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, loss, win, loss, overtime loss, loss, win, win, loss, loss, win, loss, loss, win, win, win. There is no consistency there other than the inconsistency. And I think that's something that is going to be really, really tough to have as your number one goalie. And it's combined this year for a 263 and a 902.
Yeah, and you hit it on the head with the consistency part, right? Because this team has been, if nothing else, consistent since the beginning of 2019. Curtis McElhinney has been a big part of that.
Yes.
So, my answer is I don't know. My honest answer is, as much as I'm enjoying what Mrazek is doing right now, my answer is I hope going into next season Mrazek and McElhinney are not the goaltending tandem we have to rely upon, because eventually someone's going to read that book and we're not mm-hmm. going to be as good.
Totally agree.
Derek, this one coming in from our buddy Mr. Rictus. Of the trade trips mentioned over the course of the year, Ferland, Falk, Hamilton, Pesci, etc., which one person on this team has proven themselves most indispensable in 2019?
Dougie. And I say that as a fan of Dougie, and again, as giddy as we were when we acquired him at the draft last year. But I think in the last few weeks, month, 2 months, whatever, you are seeing why we were so excited about Dougie Hamilton. His point production has gone up. He's seeing a little bit more power play time. He has double-digit goals now on the season. And I just think his talent is so high. I think almost everything that Falk does, Hamilton does better. Pesci is good. Ferland is good. I don't think any of them are bad answers, but my answer is Hamilton.
I think that's a great answer, Derek.
Thank you.
I've got to go with Brett Pesci for me, because while Dougie Hamilton is phenomenal, I think there are guys within this organization who could deliver us a similar Hamilton value. Mm-hmm. Falk has, I believe, rounded out a good bit of his defensive game, and he's playing slightly differently. He's not trying to take on as much of the offensive workload. We're not firing a bunch of slap shots from the point that are expected to get through for scoring opportunities. It's more about the second chance on the power play. But there's just this level of consistent, solid defensive play from Brett Pesci that very few other guys inside this organization, either currently on the roster or projected to be coming in the next year or two, that project as well as Brett Pesci. We've got two very good defensive defensemen in Jacob Slavin and Brett Pesci. What we don't have is a bunch of guys like that. We do have guys like Dougie Hamilton and Justin Falk and Jake Bean and Adam Fox. So I think those guys are less indispensable than maybe what Pesci is.
Coolio. Changing gears a little bit from Dave McBrayer. Who on the team would you most like to have a beer with, and how do you imagine it taking place?
It's a great question. I love that question. I'm gonna go completely off the board, and this one's going to be completely inappropriate and illegal, but it's Andrei Svechnikov. And here's the reason why. A, as a young man, he probably
you could do it in Canada.
Right. He's probably not chugged as many beers as we have over the years, so it would only take a couple for the young kid to get loosened up. And I was at Kane's Bash last night, and he was just a delight to talk to. Just his smile lit up the room. He was just a lot of fun and fun to talk to. He had never seen Anton Hudobin's Meat Sweat Lodge picture.
Oh, God.
So he and I bonded over our love for Anton Hudobin.
Is that the manliest photo?
Yes, absolutely. So we talked about that. So I think it would be Andrei Svechnikov, because I think if you get a couple of beers in him, he'll tell you stories about the older guys will cover up, because they'll probably last longer and will be under the table before they do. So while Jordan Martinook would probably be the most fun, I'm taking the youngster. I'm taking Svechnikov. How about you?
Okay. Martinook is an obvious answer.
Yes.
So I'm not going to do that one. The other obvious answer, Calvin DeHaan. And Calvin DeHaan is probably the guy I most want to have a beer with on this team, because all the interactions with him, all the times we've seen him on videos and all that, just seems like a really, really cool guy to hang out with.
Yep.
Here's what I want. I want to go on a private art museum tour with Dougie Hamilton, where we sip Imperial Stouts and he educates me on Renaissance paintings.
That's nice.
Or tries to get me to understand modern art while we drink quads.
It's nice. That's a nice date afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, because we're sure as shit not going to Moxie's, right?
No. All right, Derek. This one from our buddy Dane at Take Warning 1819. This is an F. Mary Kill.
Oh, yeah,
cranky
buddy.
Cranky Old Bastards edition.
Ooh, okay.
Now, what we don't do is we don't do F. Mary Kill of people, so I'm going to change this one up on Dane a little bit because I would never want to insinuate we would actually kill a human being. Let's do F. Mary Kill Cranky Old Bastard edition takes.
Yes.
So, F. Mary Kill these takes. Don Cherry's Storm Surge take.
Well, hold on, though, because we're kind of running into Al Hood's question. Al Hood had one on takes, so we'll see. Maybe these get merged.
Okay, maybe they get merged. Brian Burke's takes or Mike Milbury's hockey takes? F. Mary Kill.
Okay, no, these are not the same question then.
Cherry, Milbury.
Okay, kill Milbury's takes because I would kill them with a shoe.
Yes.
I'm going to F. Don Cherry's takes because... You kind of want to hear them just because they work you up a little bit every now and then, and they're just so absurd. You want to see them every now and then, but it's not the kind of takes you want to spend the rest of your life with. And I'm going to marry Brian Burke's takes because there is an endless array of how he does not understand how clothing or hair works, and I don't get tired of that.
Derek married truculence. I'm okay with that. I think that's the right answer. I can't go any differently than that. What did Al have for us?
So Al has F. Mary Kill, Hot Takes Edition, Attendance Takes, Storm Surge Takes, Trade Takes.
I think this was pretty easy, right? I am immediately killing the Attendance Takes because tired of them. They're dead. They're easy. I am going to F the Storm Surge Takes because they're only going to be here for a little while, and then everyone's going to wish they were sexy enough to have ours. And then I'm going to marry the Trade Takes because every trade year deadline is one of the funnest days of the year, and I enjoy that. And, you know, you're going to F it, you know, just a couple of times a year. Trade deadline day, you know, right at the draft.
Oh, free agent frenzy.
Free agent frenzy.
Mike, let it be known that on this day in February 2019, you and I agreed 100% on both F. Mary Kill questions.
Damn. I don't even know what to say. What to say, Derek? Let's hit another. You guys came with the cheat meal questions tonight. We love it. This one from our buddy Will Looper. If the Canes are able to get into the playoffs this year and finally end the drought, they will. How high will they end up in the standings? Realistically, second in the Metro is only 3 points out, and we play the Caps 3 times in March. Do we dare believe, Derek?
No, we dare believe. My personal opinion is that should we get in, it will be one of the wild card spots because I think Washington and Pittsburgh are going to end up being 2 and 3 in the Metro in either order. Malkin seems to be heating up when he's not slashing people in the head. And I just have enough faith that Washington just has more talent than this team does. All it takes is Montreal or Columbus to soil the linens ahead of us. And I think that's what's going to happen. So I don't see us getting second or third in the Metro. And that's okay because I'd be very entertained by a Washington-Pittsburgh first round.
Absolutely disagree. I think the Canes will end up third. I think the Pittsburgh Penguins are finally going to hit a bump in the road. I think the bump in the road is going to be Matt Murray's health. While Casey DeSmith has been serviceable and even better than serviceable for the Penguins at times, Matt Murray has been the guy who rights the playoff ship in Pittsburgh, and he just hasn't been able to stay healthy consistently. And if Matt Murray were to have another injury between now and the end of the first week in April, I think that could sink the Pittsburgh Penguins deep enough that they would be struggling for a playoff position and hoping for a wild card. So that's my take. I think we're finishing third, which would put the Canes and Michael Ferland in a first-round playoff matchup against the Washington Capitals and their buddy Tom Wilson. And the opportunity to see Michael Ferland beat the living hell out of Tom Wilson in the playoffs makes me happy, Derek.
All right. I don't have anything else.
Yes, you do. You have a glass full of joy.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, thieves of joy. Tell them about it, Derek.
In our Bottle Mix beer review of the evening, I've selected something from Full Steam Brewing over in Durham. They do fantastic work. And this is, the packaging looks pretty different on this. It's in a tall boy can. It's an understated label, but it is a delicious beer. The only thing the label tells you about it is that it's an IPA. However, it's much more than that. I went to their website and they have a nice description there that this is kind of a New England style IPA. It's not super hazy, but it is pretty hazy. It does have some lactose in it. So if you're lactose intolerant, get a different beer from Bottle Mix. But this beer, I had to buy it immediately when I saw that it has both Mosaic and Citra hops in it. To me, that is cheating. And I love that type of cheating, not the cheating that happens on the ice, because obviously those cheaters never win. This beer, like I said,
well done, sir.
It's a little bit hazy. Can't really see through it, but it's not that like super vibrant, orange, juicy kind of look that some New England IPAs get. The aromas on it are just really tropical. There's pineapple, there's citrus, there's some like, I don't know, mango, guava, that kind of just like rich tropical fruit. I couldn't tell you which one it is, but it's that ripe tropical fruit that is just absolutely delightful. It's 6% alcohol. It comes in a tall boy can, and Full Steam tells you how much this beer comes from local ingredients. 14% of what's in this can is local, which is awesome. So it has local malted barley. I find this beer to be really tasty. There's a slight hop finish on it. It's not just a citrus bomb. And I think it was like, you know, $3-ish bucks for a tall boy can. Highly recommend it. So if you didn't join us at the live podcast and you have no idea where Bottle Mix is, Mike, where's Bottle Mix exactly?
Bottle Mix is about 3 miles north of Crabtree Valley Mall on Creedmoor Road, about a mile south of the 540 Outer Belt Line, sitting there in Brennan Station and behind the Wendy's.
And people like us to get really detailed. So they are right near a travel agent and a tropical smoothie cafe and other places that don't pay us to mention their names. So I'm going to stop right there.
They're in Brennan Station, not the part that used to have Ultra Zone, the laser tag place.
No, not that place. Not the place that used to have a Jotty and Gaetano's that used to be the Ultra Zone place.
Exactly.
Not there.
No.
Not the place that used to have Kroger.
No.
Absolutely not.
No. The place that's...
God, I forgot about Ultra Zone.
Yeah. I was really good at laser tag at one point in my life. Also... so lucky to actually be married. No slight to, you know, laser tag players currently. I was just fat and sweaty and played laser tag till all hours of the night.
Oh, you sexy beast.
The difference is now, don't play laser tag.
But here's a reason to find Bottle Mix on the other side of Brennan Station.
Yes.
Not where the Ultra Zone was. This Saturday, if you like sour beers, they're having Sour Saturday with D9 Brewing.
Oh.
D9 is, they're having a rep come up. They're doing flights of four different D9 sours, so you're going to get 4 6-ounce pours in tulip glassware. It is a premium tasting, but Ricky, it says here, will be the guy from D9, will be guiding you through all of these beers. So it's kind of a guided tasting. You get to learn a little bit more about them, what makes them all so good, and D9 does damn fine work with sours. So head up there Saturday for sours. Head up there any other day for beer, for wine. Tell any of the folks there that you heard about the 328 Beer of the Week, the Thieves of Joy from Full Steam, and you want that beer, and you want a lot more beer and wine. They will take great care of you.
Not only do they have that, my wife actually came across something very interesting for those who may subscribe to the idea of CBD oil, which is currently legal in all parts of North Carolina, that may help with things like anxiety, joint pain, that type of thing. They actually had bottled beverages up there of... like a sparkling fruit drinks. There was a blackberry ginger, if I recall, that had CBD hemp oil in it. So if that's your jam to trying to kind of get you through the day, they've got some things. I believe they're called Vibes, V-Y-B-E-S. They were the first place in Raleigh that I had seen them. My wife said they were not only tasted delightful, but they serve the purpose for which they were intended. So
I love that.
Yeah, so throw that out there for you as well. Bottle Mix, your place for all of the beverages to make you feel better. These beers have made us feel better. Don Cherry has made us feel better. The Carolina Hurricanes have made us feel better. The Caniac community, who raised well over $75,000 last night at the Canes Bash for Kids and Community Foundation, as well as all of the great folks who donated to You Can Play, have made us feel better. Now, we just need to beat the Rangers this week before we hit the road again and keep them wins.
Also, those of you who have made us feel better are those of you who have said, we love your Bunch of Jerks t-shirts,
yes,
and hoodies and long sleeve shirts, and you chose to hashtag buy the merch. If you want to check it out, it's pinned to our Twitter page. It's on our Instagram. It's on our Facebook. It's at section328.com/store. You can see all of our merch there. Check it out. There are more colors and styles than we have pictures of them. So if you love the design, but you want it in gray or white, take a look. It's on Amazon. We ship to wherever the hell Amazon ships to. So that is, I believe, most of the globe except for
Iraq, North Korea, and Afghanistan.
Okay, so if you're in any of those places, I'm terribly sorry, you'll have to wait.
Yes.
But other than that, pick up the Buy the Jerks, Bunch of Jerks, and buy the merch.
Yeah, buy the Jerks. Hey, for enough money, you can even buy these Jerks. The folks at Bottle Mix and Don have, at least for the rest of this season. So, guys, gals, thanks everyone for listening. If you make your way out to the game Tuesday night to watch the Canes take on the New York Rangers, climb the stairs, walk your way around the upper concourse, find your way to Section 328, pop your head in, look at the guys on row C. We'll be the guys yelling, having a whole bunch of fun, because it's what we do. We've been a bunch of jerks for almost 19 seasons now, 6 years behind these mics, and as the reigning, defending, undisputed podcast champions of Raleigh.
Thanks for having me on last night, Raleigh City Sports. Really appreciate it. You guys are great, too.
We love you guys. Please come up, say hi. Let's have a little bit of fun together. Let's cheer on this team as we not only make our way to the trade deadline, but we make our way to the playoffs.
You better not jinx it, you bastard.
Until next time, my name's Mike.
I'm Derek.
He hates fun. We are out of here.
Liar!
Jerk.